Welcome to Fatal Flaw. I'm Molly.
And I'm Maddie.
A couple of disclaimers before we start. There will be spoilers for Percy Jackson and the Olympians and Heroes of Olympus. There will be adult language and adult topics, so proceed with caution. Mom, please don't listen to this. First of all, I would like to issue a correction and an apology. In our intro, we say that there will be spoilers to Percy Jackson and the Olympians and Heroes of Olympus. And it turns out we totally spoiled an entire other series for Blue. I'm very sorry. And by we, I mean I.
Yeah, it was entirely your fault.
It was completely my fault. So, just spoilers in general. We're going to have to change the intro. This contains spoilers, period.
Period.
So yeah, that's the first thing I had to say to get that out of the way. And now we can move on to the actual content of the episode. Our guest this week, we're very excited to have Blue with us.
Hi, what's up, everyone? I love Fatal Flaw, and I'm super happy to be here today, and I'm really excited to talk about Percy Jackson.
I love the attention. Thank you so much for that attention and validation.
I got you.
Favorite guest so far. Thank you.
Whoa.
High praise.
We're going to get some nasty messages when this episode comes out.
Well, if you guys want to be the favorite, you have to compliment me more, okay?
Every guest has to come on and say three compliments throughout the entirety of the podcast. Only to Molly. I don't need any compliments, but
well, you need the compliments for Molly to counteract the insults you give to her. You know?
I am so nice to her all the time. You don't even know.
Mm-hmm. Maddie is so full of shit. Oh my god. Okay, so today we are talking about, I believe, Blue's favorite subject, right? We are talking.
I would say nearly. I mean, obviously, I am a very big Percibeth fan, but I really love the character Rachel Elizabeth Dare, which is what we'll be talking a lot about today.
We are talking about Rachel Elizabeth Dare. We are also definitely talking about Taylor Swift.
Absolutely.
But ostensibly, what the topic of the episode is Rachel Elizabeth Dare.
Would you like to tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into Percy Jackson?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's nothing I love more than talking about Percy Jackson and my specific journey with the book series. So clearly I started when I was young, I would say around middle school. And then when I was in high school, the Heroes of Olympus books were still coming out. So I pretty much got all the way to the end of Mark of Athena. And I finished that book, and then I was waiting for the next two to come out. And then I lost interest, couldn't do it, was really stressed out. So I never finished it until actually this past quarantine, where I finished The Heroes of Olympus, and I'm now currently reading The Trials of Apollo. But yeah, I remember being like an angsty teenager reading The Last Olympian, like the world was ending, the final battle of Manhattan was happening, and my mom was like, Blue, like, you just need to go grocery shopping with me. And I was like, you don't understand, the world is ending right now. So I have real emotional ties to this book series and all of these characters, and specifically Rachel Elizabeth Dare, absolutely.
Yes. What is it about Rachel Elizabeth Dare that draws you to her so much?
Okay, so I like this question because in a world full of demigods, I don't even think in a mystical world I would be a demigod. So I think you guys have said that before too.
Yeah, I said that. Yeah, I would not be one of the special people. I would be like a normal person whose life gets ruined by the whole demigod thing.
I liked Rachel Elizabeth Dare, not because she drew on her jeans, I thought that was weird, but because she was a mortal who just like had a crush on Percy, and I feel like that would have been me.
As one should.
You know? And I really got that, and she just kind of seemed like rebellious, and I was angsty at that age, and I don't know. I really liked her character because I think she represented so much for Percy that we don't really talk about. I think that, you know, Rachel reminds Percy of his mom. She's rebellious in those small ways. I think she has a really similar phrase where she talks about, like, wanting to forge her own path and not wanting, like, a palace that's built for her the same way Sally did. And I don't know. I think that, like, the fact that she can see through the mist, like his mom can't, like his how his mom can, and like, yeah, she has flaws. Like, yes, yeah, she's privileged. She's annoying, and like, absolutely, I agree. But I vouch for Rachel Elizabeth there. I really think that she made things easier on Percy, like near the end there. I think it was good for him to see a part of the mortal world and like have a mortal friend, because at the end of the day, he was saving Western civilization. He was saving the mortal world. Like, if he didn't have a mortal friend, you know, she has that line, which is kind of annoying, but she says, like, go and kill some monsters for me. And, like, it's not just her that he's killing them for. It's all of them. It's all of the humans. And I, for one, would like to thank Percy Jackson for saving the human world.
So Blue, you really like Rachel Elizabeth Dare, but how do you feel about Freud? Because seems like Percy was trying to date his mom for a second.
Oh my God.
Yes, we do talk about.
I'm sorry, that's all I could think about while you were talking about that. I'm sorry.
Upsetting to me, but I understand where you're coming from. And I do want to disband the idea that like girlfriends need to be moms. I hate that. It's horrible. And they don't end up together, so like I feel like I rest my case
It's
there.
kosher. It's fine.
I didn't mean in a more emotional sense. I think that like there's a reason that like Percy likes Rachel right off the bat, and there's a reason that like Rachel has her character resonates with him. And it's not just that she's pretty and that she has a crush on him, you know?
Although I would like to say, like, she is pretty and has a crush on him. And for any normal teenage boy, like, that's the bar, you
Yeah,
know?
that's it.
She's pretty and has a crush on him. And, like, I don't know. If I were a 15-year-old boy, I'd be like, all right, checks both of my boxes. You know, I think that is important to acknowledge that, like, she is like a normal person and he is like a normal teenage boy. And in any other circumstance, like, that would have been a pretty cute way to meet. You know, I think we would have been rooting for
Absolutely, as opposed to
him.
what his other relationship, which is really strained. And when he's with Rachel, he's not constantly worrying if Rachel's thinking about somebody else. He's not, you know what I'm getting at here?
Yeah, Annabeth and Luke, right?
Right. I stan Persebeth more than I stan any other ship in the entirety of all the fantasy universes. I need to state
100%.
that right now before I get hate mail, because I'm about to say some controversial things. But if we go back to all of the times that Annabeth has stated very blatantly how much she cares about Luke, that would have hurt me if I were Percy. That would have really, made me feel like she wasn't interested in me like that. And I feel like we spent so much time getting mad at Rachel during this book series because she had a relationship with Percy when we wanted Percy to have a relationship with Annabeth. Yes, I wanted that too. But if I was Percy, I too would be questioning if Annabeth ever wanted me. For instance, in the Sea of Monsters, many moons ago, when he sees her vision, which is supposed to be everything she wants, and you could argue that Percy's not there because she already has Percy, she doesn't have to want Percy. You can argue that, that's fine. I love that idea too. But in that vision, where it's everything she could ever want, it is not him. And if I were Percy, that image would haunt me forever. And let us not forget the moment in which she says, I knew Luke was alive the same way you knew I was alive. That is a crushing blow. Crushing blow.
It's simple with Rachel. She likes me. I like her. We can date, period. But with Annabeth, it's like she likes me, but she's in love with Luke, who betrayed us
Who's
and
a
is 7 years older than us.
right.
It's so much more complicated. So, like, I can see it. Like, I don't hold it against people when they, well, I do hold it against people when they don't ship Persebeth, but I understand,
Basically.
but like I understand why Percy would behave the way he did.
Right. And you could argue that Annabeth makes it pretty clear when she kisses him in the Battle of the Labyrinth, which, fair point. You make a fair point there. But then, like, what, 3 chapters later, she's pissed at him because he's trying to save her quest. And, like, I get it. I totally get it. We were all angsty 14-year-olds. But at the same time, even if they're just best friends, I too would feel pretty hurt that Annabeth cares so much for Luke in the way that she does when he's very clearly the worst scum on the planet of Earth.
Yes,
I
I'm
would
not
like to point
surprised.
out, I was not an angsty 14-year-old. I was perfectly fine.
I don't believe you for one minute.
No, believe
I
her.
was fine.
Believe her. She was not.
I was so boring. You know what I was really into at 14 years old?
What were you into?
One Direction, and that was it. That was my entire personality. There
That's
was no angst.
I thought I was too cool to like One Direction, and then I got into high school and all my friends loved One Direction, and I was like, you guys are right, and this is good, but I'm still mad about it.
Thank you.
So.
I've successfully done what I do best, which is derailing conversations and making them about One Direction.
We can stop and talk about that for a second.
So let's go back to Maddie. I'm sorry, did you have something to say?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought I had interrupted you.
Like in general at all. Not a thought behind these eyes, guys.
I did have something that I noted when I was doing the research for this. I love this moment where Percy explains to Rachel that the Greek gods are real. So she has been seeing shit her whole life. I mean, she can see through the mist just like Sally. So she's been seeing monsters. She's been seeing people with weapons. And the entire time she thought she was crazy. And then Percy comes in and explains, like, oh, like the Greek gods are real, et cetera, et cetera. And it's kind of like, do either of you guys watch Crazy Ex-Girlfriend?
So sorry.
I've watched all of it but the last season.
Okay, I think this moment that I'm referencing is in the last season. But so in Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, there's this song called A Diagnosis, where she finally gets a diagnosis for her mental health symptoms that she's had for so many years. And she sings this whole song about how much of a relief it is to finally get a diagnosis and finally understand kind of what's going on. And I highly encourage you to listen to that with Rachel Elizabeth Dare in mind, because that is what that moment is realizing you're not crazy and there's like an explanation for what happened or what has been
Absolutely.
happening.
And even as cringy as this might sound, I think Percy encapsulates that manic pixie dream boy trope for Rachel. And I don't blame her. I don't blame her, you know?
Yeah, I see it. I also, about that moment where Percy explains to her that the Greek gods are real, etc. It makes me laugh so hard because I remember, because it always makes me think of when Percy says the same thing to Tyson, and Tyson's like,
And
yeah, and.
right. She's like, oh, okay, that makes sense. He's like, oh.
He finally gets to like have that moment of like, I know something you don't know. Because he thought he had that, and then Tyson was like, no, I know all about that.
I think something I'd also like to call attention to is like Percy. First of all, I would like to talk about the fact, because no one talked about this and it's like so important to me, but no one talks about the fact that Annabeth and Percy like wake up earlier than the rest of the camp to like go read Greek together on the dock, and like that hurts my heart. Like that makes me feel so many things. It's mentioned like super early. I think it's in Battle of Labyrinth. Maybe it's in Sea of Monsters. I don't
Wait,
know.
what?
It might even they like wait. I think it's during the chariot races. They have this fight because he like starts the sentence with, I was out on the dock early before the kid. Everyone else woke up with Annabeth reading Greek like we usually do. And I was like, don't breeze over that. That's a huge deal to me. But that's how the sentence starts. And then they're talking. And I think they're talking about Tyson. And then they have a fight. And like, yeah, I feel a lot of things about it. But what I mean, what I was segueing into that was how Percy and Annabeth are kind of always growing together. They've grown up together, so they're always kind of like learning and bouncing off each other. Whereas like Luke in Annabeth's mind like can do no wrong. Here he is literally leading an evil army, and he still has this amount of grace in her eyes that Percy will never get. And that is just really heartbreaking for me. Sorry. I love Annabeth Chase. Incredible character, incredible woman. Adore her. She is not without flaws.
One might say she has a fatal flaw. Anyway,
That was really smooth.
no, it wasn't.
That should be your tagline for this episode.
I hate
Molly, you
that.
didn't like it? I feel like it was pretty good.
I'm just rolling my eyes so hard. So, going through my notes a little more, there is something that I don't think I ever like really put two and two together about. But when she goes into the labyrinth, she doesn't like call anybody. She doesn't even text her dad and be like, "Hey, I'm going out of town for a little bit." Like, she doesn't need to make any excuses because nobody's looking for her. Nobody misses her.
Yeah,
What the fuck?
I think I've always related to Rachel Elizabeth there in that sense that, like, she was so kind of carefree and, like, I'm going to do this, I'm going to help you because I want to and I feel like it and there's no other good reason. Like, I've always loved that about her character.
Yeah, I love that. It's just, I just want to give her a hug.
You know? I think another reason I really love Rachel Elizabeth there, I'm reading The Trials of Apollo right now, and she's a character. She's in these books. She doesn't have, like, a POV, and, like, she doesn't get a huge, bigger deal, but, like, she's still kicking. She wasn't like, oh, I'm a love interest for Percy. Oh, Percy's relationship is perfect now, so I'm going to disappear. No, she has a real freaking role. She has a personality outside of the fact that she had a crush on Percy Jackson. And you know what? I love her for that.
I love her so much. Just one more thing to add to the list of why we need to read Trials of Apollo.
Yeah, I'm going to get you to read them. I think you'll enjoy them.
I'm sure I will. Doesn't mean I'm going to read it.
I'm reading them. Don't worry.
Okay, Maddie, you do a book report for me. I'll read the Wikipedia summary. That's a joke because I literally own the first book of Trials of Apollo and I have started it. So I really am going to read it. I have a question for you both. There is an iconic moment. Rachel is described as wearing a kimono, blasting music, throwing darts at a picture of Percy.
Amen. As she should.
As she should.
Amen.
But my question is, what music is she playing?
That is a fantastic question.
All Too Well.
I adore that answer, but I disagree entirely.
Yeah, I mean, it was just a quick quip.
I think she's listening to Kill the Director by the Wombats. Or Greek Tragedy by the Wombats. I think she's listening to something a little harder than All Too Well. Because throwing darts is like, you're mad. Driving in your car, you're like crying. Like, if she was like in the car, like having a moment, or if she even was painting, I would maybe say a Taylor Swift song. But I really think it's got to be like something angsty. It's probably Fall Out Boy, let's be honest. It's something angry. Maybe I'm projecting, but I think it's something angry.
My prediction was Tegan and Sarah.
No, that's too advanced for her.
Oh, damn.
I'm sorry.
I would also like to point out that this is, I believe, the very first episode where I have been in the minority in that two people on here are straight and I'm the only gay one.
Why does that directly relate to Tegan and Sarah? I like Tegan and Sarah. I'm so sorry. I came out really hot there for a second.
I mean, they're gay. Right?
People can like gay things, Molly. She does this the time.
But you know what I mean?
Making music?
You know what I mean? Like, all squares are rectangles, but not all rectangles are squares.
No,
Okay, but you also have this opinion of Rachel Elizabeth there and Annabeth that I, you know?
Yes.
You so disagree with me?
We have to have it out.
Share your thoughts.
I think that you think she's listening to Tegan and Sarah for that reason, and I don't blame you for having those opinions. I just don't necessarily agree.
You think Rachel Elizabeth Dare is straight?
No. I think.
Oh, my God. Thank God.
I think Annabeth Chase did not. I don't even think Annabeth Chase is straight, but I don't think Annabeth Chase ever had a crush on Rachel Elizabeth Dare.
Well, I disagree with you. I respect your opinions, and I don't want to be canceled by these two straight people in the call with me.
Straight people don't cancel anyone.
I'm on your podcast.
I need a hostile takeover. Okay, wait. So, Maddie, what music do you think she's listening to? We got the Wombats. We got Fall Out Boy.
I feel like Rachel Elizabeth Dare and I did not listen to the same music in high school, so I don't know what she was listening to.
I've just come up with an alternate opinion, other than Tegan and Sarah. I think she's listening to angry show tunes. I think she's listening to, like, The World Will Know from
New I think News. You're projecting your personality onto Rachel Elizabeth Dare, and I love you, Molly. I do love you so much. You are not Rachel Elizabeth Dare. You are nothing like Rachel Elizabeth Dare.
Oh, my God. She's really
coming
to you right now.
This
really is.
I think Rachel Elizabeth Dare probably really likes Newsies. I'll give that to you. Who
Thank you.
Like
she, We literally see her in front of a theater. She is such a theater kid. She's literally involved in the theater production. She is literally involved in the theater production, but also she has the personality of a theater kid. So I think she would find some, like, angry show tunes. She's, like, listening to, like, Les Mis. She's listening to, like, I'd Rather Be Me from Mean Girls.
What year did this book come out? Because let's look at popular indie music, because that's what I think she's listening to.
That I can see that, too. The fact that she's wearing a kimono, kimono is just so iconic.
We give her too much credit.
No, wait. What year was this?
Okay, I'm looking it up. It was May 2008. Top indie song.
Man. In 2008. I was really hoping that this would be during the time of, what's it called?
Oh, it's I'm Not Listening to Your...
21 Pilots.
She's not listening to 21 Pilots. She's listening to I'm Not Going to Teach Your Boyfriend How to Dance With You by Black Kids. I would put money on it.
I don't know that song because I'm basic, but yes, sure.
Okay, that was a really fun topic. I've never thought about that specific situation.
Thank you. I read that part and I was like, oh my god, this is iconic.
We all know she likes Vampire Weekend and like Arctic Monkeys because she's like that's the type of girl she is. But I think in that moment she's listening to something a little angrier.
That's valid.
Wow,
Maddie, do you want to choose the next point? Because I don't feel like.
Do we want to talk about her privilege? Because I feel like this is where Molly and I are gonna fight.
Are we going to fight? Go for it.
Oh, me? Go for it? Okay. Well, mm-hmm. Yeah. See, Blue is, like, shielding her eyes. She's like, I don't want to be associated with this opinion because it's so fucking wrong.
Okay. Let me go. Okay. So, there is a lot of hate for Rachel Elizabeth Dare because she's privileged. Percy is literally the son of a god. Percy can literally make his own personal hurricane, and that's not because of anything that he did. That's not like something that he just like worked really hard on and he like learned how to do that on his own. Like, that's literally a gift from his daddy.
Okay,
who's a god.
First of all,
Maddie, let's have a spinoff.
Oh, I'm being shoved out of my own podcast.
Yes, please. I've been waiting for this.
Oh my god.
I have been third wheeling on every single episode until this one.
You know what? Oh, how the mic
fall. Okay, Molly.
Oh my god. No.
Wait,
okay, no. Let me finish.
You already had your piece.
Okay, yes. Absolutely.
Okay. Oh my god. Well, let me just say one more thing. That... one of the biggest themes in this entire series, literally the whole series, one of the points is that your life is not determined for you by like the gods or fate or whatever. Like, you get to make your own destiny. You have free will no matter where you come from. And everybody seems to be like, yeah, free will. Like, your parents don't determine your destiny. Like, your parents don't determine your value, until it comes to Rachel Elizabeth Dare. Suddenly it's like, oh yeah, her dad is evil, so suddenly she's evil. Fucking Chiron's dad is Kronos.
Okay, well, like, Chiron sucks.
True, but we don't say, like, oh, like, he must be evil because his dad is evil. He's evil for very different reasons. Not just because of his dad, but Rachel Elizabeth Dare, her dad is evil, and suddenly everybody's like, oh yeah, whoever your parent is determines how I feel about you.
Okay, I don't necessarily see the like hate that she's getting as like she's evil because of her dad. I personally believe that she is very privileged. She uses her privilege in ways to get herself ahead. Like, she literally, I mean, and I'm not saying she uses her privilege to be a bad person. Like, she's obviously a good person. She's on the good side, but she is one of those characters and like one of those people that they like don't even think about their privilege, and they don't care who they like are kind of stomping on or making feel bad while they use their privilege. Like, she just comes in, is like, oh, I'm Rachel Elizabeth Dare, I'm gonna dress up as a statue because I don't have to worry about anything else in the world, I'm gonna hang out with this poor boy because why not? Just to piss off my family. Like, you know, like, I'm not saying Rachel Elizabeth Dare is evil. I love Rachel Elizabeth Dare. I think she's an amazing character. Probably would not be friends with her in real life because that's just not the people that I hang out with. But you can't just say that she's less privileged than the Children of Gods when the Children of Gods are literally attacked by monsters constantly. Percy wasn't... I can't believe you're, like, defending a rich person and saying she has less privilege than these children.
Okay, all right, so here's the thing. Here's my take on all this. I disagree with both of you.
Good.
Valid. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. So go ahead, Blue.
Okay. Well, first of all, I'm just going to preface this with, you know me, I will defend Rachel Elizabeth Dare until I am dead. You can put that on my tombstone. My parents probably won't like it, but you can. I agree that the privilege is different, but when we're talking about the fact that, like, they're children of the gods, that also comes with this massive responsibility in life or death situations and kind of just general daily terror that Rachel Elizabeth Dare will never have until she becomes the thing and, like, everything happens to her and she gets her own storyline. Agreed. But the kind of privilege that Rachel Elizabeth Dare has as a reader who is someone who is constantly reading about Percy's struggle growing up in privileged places while he isn't himself, and, like, learning about Tyson's story and even about Annabeth and Talia and Luke running away. Like, these are the stories of demigods that we hear. They struggle. Rachel Elizabeth Dare can be anywhere in the world and see a driver and say, I need a ride. Like, it's this privilege that, like, it's so ridiculously unattainable that it does make her unlikable. And it does lead you to this question of, like, who does she think she is? And you know me, love Rachel Elizabeth Dare, would die for Rachel Elizabeth Dare. But I absolutely understand how someone could see Rachel Elizabeth Dare character and, like, not see past how privileged she is. Because it kind of, that amount of money, being able to literally have your own helicopter to fly into New York City, because you just, like, got the little itch that, like, your boyfriend isn't, like, doing so hot. Like on a whim, granted, it's magical whim and, like, it's powerful whim and it's the Greek, whatever, you know, she's the Oracle. That's the kind of whim that she's flying into New York on her personal helicopter. I understand how people could hate her for that. I hate her for that. That's ridiculous. No one should have that much money. Eat the rich. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Rachel Elizabeth Dare, but you and your dad are, like, first in line to get the guillotine. Sorry.
And I think that she gets a lot of hate because a lot of the demigods are dying, for one, and making real sacrifices and losing their friends and family. And, like, Rachel's big storyline is, like, oh, I guess I'll go to the fancy private school that I don't feel like going to. But I agree that it's so privileged, the fact that, like, that's her big sacrifice when everyone else, like, has much more emotional stakes and, like, are going through something worse, honestly. But I think that Rachel making that decision, like, that's her hardship. Like, that's Rachel's sacrifice. It's not relatable. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But we know Rachel is a free spirit, and she's deciding for the sake of everyone else to put her hands behind her back and do what everyone wants her to do. And we have to honor that as some type of bravery, even if it's not in the traditional sense what we see from the other demigods. I rest my case.
That was beautiful. I absolutely agree.
I totally agree. Everything you said. Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. I would bow if that weren't obnoxious of me.
That's something Rachel Elizabeth Dare would do, is bow.
I do. I'm being a little stubborn here, but I think that I'm going to have to dig my heels in a little bit and say that it's not fair when people say she's privileged and Percy isn't. And they're different. They're very different.
They're
privileged in different ways. But Rachel is mortal and rich, and Percy is literally the son of a god. Like, you have to acknowledge that Percy does have privilege.
He has white privilege, and that's all I'm going to say. He has white male privilege. That's all I'm giving him.
He does.
Maddie, he can control water.
So,
He can make his own personal hurricane. Like, that is a gift from his daddy.
He also has, like, the massive responsibility of single-handedly saving the world twice. Yeah, I said single-handedly.
Oh, bold.
Okay, but I still think I'm right.
Okay.
I agree with everything you said. I totally agree with you, but I still think it's totally unfair when people are like, well, not totally unfair, but I still think it's really unfair when people are talking about Rachel and they're like, I don't like her because she has privilege, and then turn around and don't acknowledge the privilege that, like, yes. Annabeth, Percy, okay. all the I, other main that, characters have.
That is problematic when that happens.
Thank you.
I throw her a bone, you know?
Right.
Damn.
Oh my god, wait, I just remembered. This episode is going to be coming out on Blue's birthday.
Yes, it is. I will be 22. It's my Taylor Swift year. It's only appropriate to segue into Taylor Swift now.
Yes!
Yes! Yes! So, it's not your birthday when we're recording this, but when this comes out, it will be your birthday.
Correct.
Happy birthday, Blue!
Thank you!
Happy birthday!
Thank you. I'm very excited to be 22. I'm 1 year closer to death. It is really an exciting process, you know?
Oh, God, we are fucked up as a generation. I love that. As a birthday gift to you, can we talk about Rachel Elizabeth Dare and Taylor Swift?
Specific songs, or do we just want to, like, talk about August?
I like that it's just song. Immediately assumed that definitely August. But Maddie, I believe, made a playlist, correct?
I did make a playlist.
All right, hit us up.
I don't do much, but I did make a playlist.
I have
so this is the red playlist, which is the Rachel Elizabeth Dare Taylor Swift playlist we've all been waiting for. It's been a long time coming.
Amen.
So I basically just went through all of Taylor Swift's discographies and looked at all of her songs and was like, does this have Rachel Elizabeth Dare vibes or does it not? And I don't know how many songs this is. It's not that many. But it's an hour and 52 minutes long for anyone who has 2 hours to spare.
I always do.
I thought it was just August.
No, fuck that.
Okay, go ahead.
August is on it. But there's so much more to Rachel Elizabeth Dare than just being the other girl.
You're
Come
right.
on.
Amen.
Valid.
Come on.
I like that it starts with Gold Rush. I think that's an interesting opinion.
I love how you're just, like, judging everything that I've put in here. So, last night, while I was at work, instead of coming up with a fun game, I, like, organized the playlist. Because at first, it was just, like, in order from, like, Evermore to debut. And I kind of tried to put it in, like, the order of, like, her relationship with Percy in the books, because that's, like, I mean, I hate to say it, but, like, that's how she, like, that's what her character is. And so Gold Rush is, like, oh, she meets him. He's obviously this, like, gorgeous person. So that's Gold Rush, Enchanted, and Gorgeous are, like, the three of, like, them meeting at the Hoover Dam. She's interested. She's intrigued. I don't know if she's been thinking about him, but he's been thinking about her, whatever. And then it kind of goes into, like, them meeting again with I Knew You Were Trouble, because that's when she finds out that he's, like, a demigod. That's no bueno. And then she meets Annabeth. He's got a girl at home. That's a little bit of an iffy thing. They're
okay,
in
wait,
New
question.
York City.
Question.
What?
Do you think that Rachel immediately read the relationship between Annabeth and Percy, that, like, because Annabeth was there to pick Percy up, like, for a date.
Well, let's
do you think Rachel read that
in Battle of the Labyrinth? Rachel and Percy are having a discussion, and Percy is flat out like, Annabeth's not usually like this, I don't know why she's being so mean. And Rachel's like, are you sure you don't know why she's being so mean? And Percy's like, no. And then I'm sorry, that was so rude. And then Rachel's like, boys are so stupid, kind of insinuating that she knows that Randolph has a crush on him, but it's also pretty innately clear that they're not together. Like, it's not, they're not together.
Okay, that's, yeah, I like that reading. Okay, so they're, is Welcome to New York on here literally because
she's
there in New York.
Okay, Welcome to New York, I feel like, is such a Rachel Elizabeth Dare song.
I don't know. Blank Space isn't on here, I am going to say.
Blank Space?
Yeah, because I kind of feel like she asks him to run away with her, and, like, I don't know. That song's kind of, like, I'm crazy, let's be psycho. You know, I don't know.
The blank space is the space on his forearm where she writes her number.
Amen.
Okay, thank we you. Have different interpretations of blank space, but that's fine.
I think people are going to be pretty upset that you have It's Nice to Have a Friend on here, because that's a pretty person, that song, flat out, but it's okay.
Wait, what? I understand that it is a very person best song, but it's also a Rachel Elizabeth Dare song because they're literally friends. And I know It's Nice to Have a Friend is more of like, oh, I've got a crush on a friend.
They get married in that song.
I know they get married, but it's... Whatever.
Okay.
I think
we don't have to talk about that anymore.
You could also...
I'm feeling attacked.
You could also... This is a point for Maddie. You could also interpret it as, like, Rachel's fantasy about what her relationship with Percy could be. Because we have, in Persebeth, we have a little bit of enemies to friends to lovers. And with Rachel, we have friends to lovers just flat out. And so I think she's kind of dreaming up this world where, you know, they're really close friends and then they become something more. But unfortunately, that doesn't happen for her.
Let's discuss Tolerate It. Is that...
Ooh.
That's a really powerful song. It's not one I listen to frequently, but I understand its power. So I would really like to hear you talk about that choice.
Rachel Elizabeth Dare is a very complex character. She has a lot of things kind of going on in her own life. And while Tolerate It, my interpretation of it is a very long-term, like, love that has died out and, you know, they're not in love anymore, or at least the protagonist's partner is not in love with them anymore. But I feel like you can kind of interpret it in several different ways. And one way that I like to interpret it is like a parent-child relationship, or like,
yes,
a very important relationship. And I think it kind of embodies like her relationship with her parents. Like, obviously, her dad, like, she's just kind of someone that's there. She should be celebrated, but her dad just kind of tolerates her, just gives into her whims, right, because he doesn't want to deal with her. And that's kind of why,
yes,
I put that in there.
Okay.
I would like to point out that this song Tolerate It always makes me think of Gilmore Girls. Have you guys seen Gilmore Girls?
Oh, I've seen Gilmore Girls thoroughly. To what relationship are we
referring to? Okay. Lorelai and Richard.
Yes.
Think on it. That. Pause. Vibe with it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so like the kind of rebellious child with her rich, stuck-up dad who she truly admires and really wants the approval of, but also knows that she's never going to get it.
Right.
She's never going to get the love in the way that she wants. And so it always makes me think of Lorelai and Richard. The kind of idolizing him, but knowing that she's never going to get the love she deserves from him. And so I feel like I could interpret that for Rachel and her dad, too. Although, actually, okay, hold on. It might not be her dad. It might be her mom. Because we don't know much about her mom.
Right.
Her dad,
like, mystery figure that we don't know about. Yeah, absolutely.
She clearly doesn't agree with what her dad does. Like, okay, she is very anti-development. She's, like, environmentalist, whatever. But her mom also seems to be treating her the same way, or at least being neutral in all of the conflicts and always deferring to her father.
Mm-hmm.
So... I think it says later, I saw this on her wiki page, that I think her mom is a social worker. And so I feel like that's something that Rachel would really look up to. But then, you know, in any kind of conflict, like, her mom doesn't stick.
Why would
for
that
her.
Woman work? Why would she have a job?
I wouldn't.
You marry a millionaire, you don't work. I would like to talk about the one. I think that was a fantastic choice. I think it has that kind of... nostalgic, like, wow, it would have been great if we were, could have been great together, but we weren't, and like, that's the end of the story. I would also like to shout out to Happiness. I think that's a gorgeous decision that you made there. I don't even think we have to discuss that one. Even the chorus, just the chorus in my mind is really, it's really there for me. I also would like to tie that specific song to Rachel's kind of like relationship into realizing that like, she's never going to be romantic because that's not her, like, that's not in her prophecy, for lack of a better word. Which I think would be really interesting if Rick like tied that to like asexuality. That would have been really cool. I think it's maybe there just because we want it to be, but yeah, I think that that's something that we could definitely talk about because Rachel Elizabeth there, like, she exists outside of a plot line that has a romantic development, like, forevermore now because of her role as the Oracle. Last Kiss is gorgeous. That's just perfect. I really liked A Place in This World because I think that is the Taylor Swift song I relate to the most out of her entire discography. So.
Oh, wow.
Oh, absolutely.
I love that you put that in here for Rachel because that's literally her storyline.
Absolutely.
Can I just say, I'm so upset that it's like every character in the story has to have some kind of pairing off romantically.
Right. Yeah.
I love it. You know, obviously I want Persebeth to end up together and I want everybody to find the love that they're looking for.
No, I really care about Percy and Annabeth.
But it's like, okay, we got Percy and Annabeth. That's great. Obviously. But then, like, do Piper and Jason really need to be together? Do Hazel and Frank really need to be together? Or can they just have their own story? Do Leo and Calypso really need to end up together?
Like, I think for sure Frank and Hazel should not have been together.
Agreed.
Especially if you're going to make her 13, they don't need to have a relationship. It could have been so
absolutely
cute
not.
She was everyone's little sister and like they were really protective over her and there was no romantic insinuation there. That would have been really great and frankly a new refreshing dynamic. Also, on another hand, I would just like to say that Hazel and Leo have a lot more chemistry than Frank and Hazel ever did. Flat out right there. But
yes.
That's how I feel Jason, about that.
Jason and the Brick have more chemistry than Frank and Hazel.
Amen.
Oh my God.
Amen. Speak your truth. I think that Jason and Leo have more chemistry than Jason and Piper, for crying out loud.
Ooh,
I think Piper
agreed.
And Leo have more chemistry than Jason and Piper. Sorry.
Thank you.
Hot takes over here.
So right. But it just, it makes me so sad that the only people who don't end up with somebody romantically are literally, like, the maiden hunters and the Oracle who is forbidden from having romantic love. I wish that they would, and yeah, like I am very happy for them finding whatever they were looking for, but it's like Nico and Will find each other, which is great. Again, I'm very happy for them, but it's like, can we have one person who ends up having their own fulfilling story without, maybe we do, maybe I'm forgetting about something, but like Grover gets hooked up with a tree, Nico gets hooked up with the
Raina.
Raina.
Oh my God.
I thought she did have a romantic interest.
No, her entire plot line is that she's a strong, independent woman who was rejected.
That's true, yeah. I guess what I was confusing it with was that she had that kind of relationship with Jason and that kind of relationship with Percy. And maybe it's just that I was thinking about Talia so much that I just assumed Raina and Talia end up together in the end. But
I think
that's not
the
right.
Fan fiction talking.
It definitely is. Yeah, okay, yeah, good. We do have Raina. I really wish we saw more of that. Not everybody needs to get paired up.
I think that, and this is a stretch of an opinion, so please shut me up at any point I am going too far with this, but I think that Rick really saw, like, that Persebeth captivated his audience throughout Percy Jackson and the Olympians. Mm-hmm. That series, something that was really big in tying it all together and big in creating this fan base was the fact that we all wanted Percy and Annabeth to end up together. So when he went into this sister series, I think that he thought, like, this is what people want. Like, this is what the kids want. And maybe when we were kids, that was what we wanted, but I truly think it would have been a better book series if we just focused on the really strong relationship that we had already made, which was Percy and Annabeth. We all already wanted that. we didn't really need Frank and Hazel. We didn't really need Leo. Like, I understand that they were all couples so that Leo could have this incredibly well-rounded storyline, but then you didn't even do the storyline because he did get a love interest in the end. I don't know, a little weird, but I love Leo's storyline. I love that, like, the idea is that, like, he was, like, the lone hero who was a seventh wheel, who didn't have a romantic interest, and then he basically saves the world. And I do love that idea, but I think it probably stemmed from the fact that a lot of his readers wanted that romantic element in the books, and I think that it did carry a lot of Heroes of Olympus. Perseus carried a lot of that book series, so I think that maybe he thought that's what we wanted, and maybe at the time we did, but it wasn't well executed, I think, in Jason and Piper's aspect, which he saw, because in Trials of Apollo, you know what happens. So
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah.
I think one of the reasons we love Persebeth so much is that it was such a slow burn.
Amen.
It was completely, little by little, book by book, they got a tiny little bit more, you know, growing together every book. And with the entire rest of the series, they, like, met their romantic partner, whoever they ended up with, and within, like, a few chapters, there was already progress towards a relationship.
Right.
Which is just like, come on. We like the slow burn. We like the...
Absolutely. And I think that's where we saw that chemistry. Because Frank and Hazel, no one's got any reason for them to like each other. It's just like, oh, I like him. Oh, I like her. And then it's done. It happened. And I was like, okay, I'm not really satisfied and I don't really care.
Yeah. I'm also looking through the rest of this. Closure, I think, personally, is a fucking call out for Rachel Elizabeth Dare or from Rachel Elizabeth Dare to Percy, because he, like, goes over, there's that moment where she, like, breaks up with him, and he's like, I had a feeling that I had gotten broken up with, but we hadn't even been dating.
Amen.
Which, by the way, is false. I totally disagree.
I mean, for the first time, like, a week ago, but I guess they were kind of dating.
Your relationship doesn't start when you kiss. Like, they went on dates, they were dating, he called her, like, they were together, they were dating, they weren't, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend, they weren't, like, in a relationship, but they were absolutely dating. Okay. He's just a fucking idiot.
No, you're totally right, he's just an idiot.
Yeah, thank you. And if we got it from literally anybody else's perspective, it would be like, oh yeah, Percy and that girl that he's dating. But because Percy's an idiot, he's like, yeah, we can just be friends when they're literally, like, taking romantic drives on the beach together.
Amen.
Thank you.
I do want to bring it back to Rachel Elizabeth there by saying,
please,
Some of my favorite books of Heroes of Olympus were House of Hades, because specifically Rachel Elizabeth Dare is in them. That was important to me. I was waiting for her character to come back, and she was in those books. And honestly, it was a big deal for me. She got, what, like, a paragraph? But it was a And then she's in the first book in The Trials of Apollo, and I was very delighted with that. And she actually has, like, a role in this series. I don't know how big yet, because I'm not done with it. But I really like that about Rachel Elizabeth Dare, and that her character continues throughout, like, this little weird love triangle that she's in.
Yeah, I agree. I love it. I'm excited to read Trials of Apollo.
Absolutely. No, I love that. I'm so excited to read Trials of Apollo someday.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to listen to this playlist on repeat for, like, 10 hours.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Any other comments on it?
Let me see. I think Enchanted was kind of ruined for me when someone pointed out that it was written about Adam from Owl
it
City.
It ruined it for you? That upset you?
Was it me?
Yeah.
Was I the person that did that? Because I'm pretty sure I messaged you about that.
It was TikTok.
Oh.
It wasn't you. When you messaged, you did message me about it, but I had already heard it from TikTok. No, so that kind of ruined it for me. But that is definitely, especially because Enchanted is, like, kind of magical.
Yeah.
So the magic, yeah, I like that.
For me, it's that, please don't be in love with someone else. Please don't have somebody waiting on you.
Ooh.
Just really powerful. I totally agree with that song being on there.
I don't know how I feel about Ivy being on here.
I like
Explain
it.
Yourself.
I think it's spicy. I like it. I like it.
It's eerie. Don't.
I like it.
I know I know they technically didn't have a quote unquote an affair, but I had to put the two songs about having affairs on there just because. I mean, Percy felt guilty about spending time with Rachel. He felt guilty about it. So obviously, there's something that he doesn't want people to know about.
Okay. We also never actually talked about August. I think it's just assumed everyone's gonna just know and like automatically, but like we never talked about it.
I would also like to petition that Comeback Be Here also be on this playlist.
Ooh, good point.
Talk about August 2nd because I will never get over the fact that Cardigan, Betty, and August are like the Percy, Annabeth, Rachel situation. Like they mirror that pretty beautifully, I would say.
Yes.
For me, it's that line in August where she's like, I would cancel my plans just in case you would call. And like that feeling is something I think every young woman can relate to. Like the possibility of Percy wanting to be with her is even enough for her to like fly a helicopter into, you know, like that's a
lot. And then
like realizing, maybe not even realizing, but just like kind of letting go because like he never was hers and that's on that.
You weren't mine to lose is the most heartbreaking lyric and it's so Rachel and Percy.
Right. Because in the end like they're friends and like they got over it and especially now in the Trials of Apollo, like they're figuring it out. They have to be friends. And they even have like nice moments I think in Trials of Apollo that really show like they've just come so far and like that kind of just did build on like a really nice relationship for them to be friends.
Mm-hmm.
I just
which I think is very relevant to the one because she's kind of like it would have been nice like I think we really had something but also like we're both doing cool shit.
Yeah, we were
like we are living our own lives.
It's such a beautiful
August. Oh my God. Did Taylor Swift literally read Percy Jackson?
No, and we're all in denial about it. I don't think Taylor Swift knows Percy Jackson exists, and I think we're all really in denial about it. I think
what the connection is there is that she is such a beautiful storyteller, and Percibeth is such a beautiful story that it just goes hand in hand.
Absolutely. Like, I think what's beautiful about it is that for the first time, the other woman isn't this, like, hateful character.
Yes!
She's probably the person we all actually are. None of us are really Betty, let's be real. But also, everything that I have to say about Taylor Swift and Percy Jackson can be summed up in one sentence, and that is that the gays have good taste.
That's going to be the opening and closing of this episode.
You can put it on my stone.
That was a mic drop moment.
Thank you.
Completely right.
It's so true. Okay. And with that.
And on that note.
That was the perfect way to end this amazing episode. Thank you so much for coming
on. That was so fun.
Would you like to plug your pluggables? Tell us where to find you on social media. You don't have to if you don't want to, but.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can find me on Instagram. My handle is IM_BLU3 if you want to DM me about Percy Jackson, Taylor Swift, or coffee and all of the above. That'd be awesome. Don't have a lot of friends that want to talk about Percy Jackson, so I'm always down for that conversation. That's kind of it for me. Don't have a lot of other socials. Don't run my own Percy Jackson podcast, unfortunately. But I'm so happy that I was able to come on this one. I love Fatal Flaw. I'm a big fan of Maddie and Molly. And I was really happy to talk with you guys today.
Oh, you're so nice.
Thank you for listening to Fatal Flaw. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at FatalFlawPJO. Music by David Thal from the band Glass Bandit. You can find them on social media at Glass Bandit Music.